chapter 17. Going to start in verse 20. Today we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has different stages, different phases, if you will. And he talks about one stage, one phase of it with the Pharisees. And then he goes on with the disciples and he talks about another piece of it. And when we get to that section, we're going to talk about some futuristic events. So if you were here during the study of Revelation, some of the terms will sound very familiar to you. If you weren't here and you're not used to those terms, it'll sound a lot like Christianese. So I will try to do my best as we go down through it to interpret that as we go. So we're going to start with a word of prayer and pray that God speaks, or it'll get ugly really quick. So we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you for the blessings again you pour on us. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us where we fall short. Lord, everyone here is a sinner. We are. But I thank you that your grace is sufficient. Your blood is sufficient. And I pray, Lord, from the smallest of things to the biggest of things, I pray you forgive us for all of our sins. I pray, Lord, that you would open your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak and get me out of the way. I pray that you would help us to rightly divide it. You would help us to keep it in context. And that we would see, Lord, clearer. We would allow you to change us and to grow us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Starting in verse 20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied. So they would have been interested in this because Jesus had been talking about the kingdom, right? So he's been teaching about and talking about the kingdom. So it would have sparked interest. They would have been curious. And they're asking when. Now, we don't know when he's coming back, right? Nobody knows the date or the time. But they're asking when, and they want to know more about the kingdom and what is going on. So Jesus says this, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." A couple quick points here. They were thinking that the kingdom was going to be something that they could see with their eyes. They could physically watch it be ushered in. And he's saying at this time, that's not how it's going to be. There is a physical kingdom of God that is coming. But it wasn't going to be in their lifetime. And that's not what they were going to see. So they weren't going to be able to see, here it is or there it is. Right? He says it's within you. In fact, if you look at the translation, a lot of people believe that what he says is that it's among you. It's among the Pharisees. It's not in the Pharisees. Many of the Pharisees weren't believers. And if they weren't believers, the kingdom wouldn't have been in them. Does that make sense? But it was definitely among them at that time because he was with them. He was in their midst. So Jesus was there with them. So the kingdom was among them because God himself is in the midst of them. So he was among them. The kingdom of God is within us. At this time, in this phase, in this stage of the kingdom of God, because who was in us? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, right? If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us. So at this first phase that we're talking about, with them, he was among them. It wasn't something that they wouldn't see because he was right there, but it wasn't the physical kingdom that they thought was going to come. It was going to be different than they had expected. He was among them, and he is in us, right? And it's a spiritual kingdom. John 3:3 says this, "In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" What's he talking about? It's a spiritual kingdom at that time, correct? That stage, that phase of it. Then he said to his disciples, so he told that to the Pharisees, and he's talking to them about the spiritual kingdom. Now he comes over, and he's talking to the disciples, and now he starts going in more depth, more description about the kingdom of God, and he starts to talk to them about the future kingdom of God that's coming, the physical kingdom of God, and he's starting to talk about his return. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." They had been able to walk with him and talk with him and eat with him. And there was a time coming when he was going to give up his life. He was going to die and he was going to be raised again. And then he was going to ascend into heaven. And they weren't going to have that access just like they had where they could see him face to face. They had access to the throne of God. Don't get me wrong. Through prayer, we have access to him. He is still near to us. But it was different than what they had been exposed to, right? It changed a little bit. And he says, you're going to long for that day. Do you long for the day? And some talk about, you know, even Daniel talked about in the days of the Son of Man and that kingdom and longing to see him and longing to be with him. Is there anything wrong with longing to be with God, longing to see God, longing to be with Christ? Is there anything wrong with that? No. I believe as believers, we're called to long to be there because that's home. This isn't. We're aliens and pilgrims here. We shouldn't long to be here. We should long to be with him, but not in an escapism type thing, right? It's not in this an escapism type attitude when I want to escape everything and just have it easy, because the hard things here mature us. It's the tough times. It's the valleys that help us grow, right? But it's still okay to long to be near him, long to be close to him. And when we hit hard times, that's a lot of the times when we're like, hey, right? When you're hitting a hard time, you're like, hey, if the rapture happens tomorrow, I'm in. Right? But again, not an escapism thing, but this longing to be near him. He's our Father. He's the Lord of Lords. He's our Savior. He's the Creator. And it's okay to long to be near him. And they long to see him. He goes on to say, men will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running off after them. So he's talking about after his death and resurrection, after his ascension, that there's going to be false Christ that come, right? False teachers and false prophets. In fact, back in Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to start in verse 22, but he's talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet. Those are to come, bad guys. And he's talking about all the false teachers, false Christ. It says, I'm going to start in verse 23, actually. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I've told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out. Or he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. He's saying, look, when he comes back, and this we're talking about his second coming, when he comes back, it's not going to be a hidden thing. It's not like you're going to have to go hunt him down in some city and go find him. It's not like that, right? It's not going to be a secret thing. It's not going to be a private thing. It's going to be a visible thing. It's going to be a very public thing. In fact, back in Luke, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning that flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. It's going to be quick, it's going to be sudden, and it's going to be visible. It'll be out. People will be able to see it. Now, this is the part that gets a little bit confusing, so I want to explain some terms before we go down, if that's okay. End times, things to come yet. I believe there's a rapture. That's my understanding of Scripture. I believe you can see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 5. The rapture and the second coming are two very different events. The rapture is when Jesus comes back, and you can see where the dead are with him, their spirits, their soul are with him, and they get their new resurrection body, and then we are transformed, those who are still alive, and we are gathered up with him. He comes and gets his church. It's the snatching away, the caught up, is what it is, with him to go to heaven, right? There's also what is called a tribulation. The tribulation is the last seven of Daniel's 77s. It's a seven-year period where it gets really ugly, right? God's wrath is poured out. The Antichrist is is on the scene with a false prophet. Satan is on a rampage. It's bad 7 years. It's like a vice that comes in. It's like a wine press. And as it goes, it gets worse and worse and worse. But there's a ton of people that get saved in that time. The last half of that, the last 3.5 years of that, is the Great Tribulation. At the end of the Great Tribulation is Armageddon. Armageddon is when, and you can see this in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, is when the armies of the world and the Antichrist and the false prophet come to fight God. They literally come to fight Jesus. Jesus comes back with the armies of heaven. We are with him. I believe the saints are with him. We don't fight. He does all the fighting. Comes back. The armies are against him. He speaks a word, the sword from his mouth, speaks a word and destroys them. And then he comes to earth. And then you start the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign, right? So if you weren't confused before you got to church, you are now, right? So that's my understanding. There's difference of opinions on when the rapture is, if it's at the beginning of the tribulation, the middle, or the end. I lean towards the beginning because of Scripture. That's where I fall. If I'm wrong, then I'll go mid, and if I'm wrong again, we'll go post. But I'm going to start at the beginning. All right, that's where I feel it is at the beginning of it all. There are some people, and the reason I'm going through to tell you all this, so again, the rapture and the second coming are very, very different events. The rapture is the taking away of the bride of the church, and they get their new resurrection body, the dead in Christ. The second coming is when we come back and he stays on earth physically for 1,000-year reign of Christ. So why am I telling you all this? Because he's talking about the kingdom of God and the coming of the kingdom of God, and he's explaining it to the disciples. So the first phase was the spiritual kingdom that was among them. He was there in his spirit and in his presence, and now he's in us. Now he's talking about the physical kingdom and the 1,000-year reign, I believe, the start of. And I believe he is talking about the second coming. When we read down through here, there are many people who feel that he's talking about rapture and stuff of the rapture. Or he's blending it all together because the end times come together. And like he's taking part of the rapture, part of the second coming, part of the like mid-trib stuff and combining it together. I think he is talking about the second coming of Christ. It makes a difference. So, if you're completely confused, hopefully we can clear that up. So he says, "For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other." So it's going to be, again, seen, it's going to be visible. So the rapture is going to happen and could happen at any time. Right? Second coming, there's things that have to happen before that, but still when it happens, he's going to come on the scene quickly. The heavens are going to be rent. The sky's going to be rent. He's going to appear quickly at that time and very visibly at that time, right? "But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." What's he talking about? He's talking to them again about the fact that he's going to be rejected and he's going to die and he's going to rise again by that generation. He's saying things have to happen before this event takes place. He has to die, be raised again, and ascend into heaven before the second coming of Christ, before the kingdom is ushered in. "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man." So he's comparing them. He's saying, they're saying, what about this kingdom being ushered in? He said, it's going to be a lot like in the days of Noah. "People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given up in marriage to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all." What's he saying? What were people doing? They were living life. They were living routine days of life. There were a lot of them wrapped in sin. They were too wrapped up in themselves and their own lives to pay attention to God. They didn't really care about him. They weren't obedient to him. The one who would pay attention to him and who was obedient to him was Noah. But they were just living life. He's saying it's going to be just like another day. People aren't ready. And then boom. He goes on and he says, "It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planning and building." What? They were going on with their normal daily life. Wrapped in them. Wrapped in sin. Ignoring him. Ignoring his warning. Has God given us warnings of his return? many. Do people always listen? No. And by the way, you remember when he destroyed Noah, it was flood. He destroyed Lot, or Sodom, it was with brimstone and fire. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just, listen to what he says. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Now again, some believe that he's talking about the rapture here, because the rapture is going to be extremely sudden. It could happen right now, it could happen 1,000 years from now. 2,000 years from now. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2 seconds from now. It's very sudden. I still believe he's talking about the second coming, because yes, there's events that have to take place. Yes, Armageddon will be occurring, but it's still going to be sudden. When he appears on the scene, that will be a sudden event. And there's still going to be people marrying and going on with their daily lives and rejecting him. Rain down from heaven and destroy them all. It'll be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. People, the point is, we're called to be ready. Either, whether it's a rapture or the second coming, the point's the same. You should be ready. Either way, the point's the same. They're supposed to be ready. On that day, no one who was on his roof of his house with his goods inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything, remembered Lot's wife. If you think about Lot's wife, you remember when they were leaving Sodom and she turned back, and what happened to her? Yeah. Was it out of curiosity that she looked back, or was it she was in remorse? She felt bad for what she was leaving behind and what she was losing in her life there. And she longed for her life back in that city when she turned back. Or was it truly just pure curiosity? What he's saying here is don't be so wrapped up with this world that you want to come back to this. Don't long for this world and the things here that you want to run back to them. He talks about it very similarly in Matthew. I'm going to start in verse 15. What's taking place, just to keep you up to date, and we're going kind of quick here, but this is what takes place about halfway through the tribulation period. So when the Antichrist reveals who he is, he's in the temple, he's the abomination that causes desolation, he sets things on. So it goes from bad to really, really, really bad right here. Listen to what Jesus talks about. And I believe these are two separate events, but he uses very similar language. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. They're called to run to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the fields go back and get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and for nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. He's saying, when that happens, when the abomination of the desolation stands in the temple, you need to run like crazy. Don't worry about the material junk. Just get out of Dodge. Right? I believe that is a separate event from what he's talking about here. I believe, again, he is not talking about the rapture, because in the rapture, we don't have time to go back and get something else. And we're not going to want to go back and get something else. We're the church. We're going home. And we're not going to sit around and say, oh, I think I left my watch on my nightstand. Hang on a second, right? I don't want my watch. I believe this is a separate event. I believe, again, this is the second coming. It's the second coming. And he said, and either way you're looking at that, he's saying you shouldn't be so preoccupied with the stuff here that your heart's set on this stuff. Your heart should be set on him. The point is, your heart should be set on him, not on here. On him and his kingdom first, not here. Don't worry about running back and getting your stuff here. Worry about him and his kingdom. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. complete abandonment of this world and complete surrender to Him. That's what He's talking about. Abandoning this world and complete surrender to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. What's He talking about? And a lot of people are like, see, Pastor, right there, it's the rapture. And some people believe it is, and if you believe it is, great. I still think He's talking about the second coming, because what He's talking about is there's going to be a separation. Those who are for Him are going to be with Him, and those who are not. And no matter how close you are together, if you're not with Jesus, you're not with Him. He's going to speak a word and wipe out the evil like that. When He starts the millennial reign, it's those that are with Him. Whichever way you see it, the point is the same. It comes down to what you do with Jesus. No matter how close you are to somebody, doesn't mean that they get in. What matters is what they do with Jesus. Where, Lord? They ask. He replied, where there is a dead body, there vultures will be gathered. Part of the reason, again, I think this is talking about the second coming, is because He was talking about the kingdom. If you back up to the beginning, He's explaining the kingdom of God. The first kingdom, the spiritual kingdom that He's talking about with us now. Then He's talking about the physical kingdom. The physical kingdom comes when Christ returns in the millennial reign, right? He also talks about there's going to be a delay. There's going to be a time. I believe the rapture is sudden. I believe we go quickly. Second coming, I believe there's a little more time for people to make that decision. And He's also talking about destruction happening. And He's talking about vultures. If you look in Revelation, at the end of Armageddon, well, let me back up before it goes down. He says this, I'm in Revelation 19, and I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried out in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men and horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave and small and great. Because when He speaks the word, He wipes out the evil. Verse 21, this is after the false prophet Antichrist is thrown in the lake of fire. Verse 21 says, the rest of them were killed by the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider. His word on the horse, it's Jesus, speaks a word, wipes them out, and all the birds gorge themselves on their flesh. I believe that is what He is talking about at the end of this section. And you're like, Pastor, I have no clue. I came to church today to worship God, and I am so confused. This is what I believe you need to know. Whether it's the rapture, whether it's the second coming, this is what I believe you need to know. One, I believe that the kingdom of God is with us now, and I believe it's in a spiritual form, and I believe it's because the Holy Spirit is in us. And I believe we're supposed to shine that light and let people see Him and that we're different from the world. We shouldn't be like the worldly kingdom because we are filled with the heavenly kingdom. We should let your little light shine before the world. We should be different than the rest of the world. Because whose we are and because who is in us. Point one, let His kingdom shine now. Point two, the reality of it all is the kingdom is coming. The physical kingdom is coming. Jesus is coming back. I guarantee it. It's not an if thing, it's a when thing. Can't tell you the date, but I can tell you for sure, guaranteed, 100% plus, He is coming. It's a reality. And knowing that He is coming, we need to set our heart and our mind on heavenly things and not be so wrapped up on the temporary, fleeting things. We should be wrapped in the eternal more than wrapped in the temporary. And we should be ready, because one or two things are going to happen to us if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're going to die and go see Him, or you're going to be raptured out and go see Him. But either way, if you've accepted Jesus, we're going to go see Him. And He is coming back. So people need to be ready. We need to be ready. The world needs to be ready. What the world needs is more Jesus. His kingdom's coming. Is the world ready? Father God, I pray that you would help us to be open to what you're doing and where you're moving and where you're working and how you're moving and how you're doing things. And I pray, Lord, it would be about you and your will and not about us and our desires. I pray, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray, Lord, that you would shine through us through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, as Nicholas was talking about, Lord, that we would be more of a mirror for you, Lord, that when people see us, they see more of you and less of us. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, come. I pray we would be ready. I pray we'd help get people ready. And Lord, I pray that you would move in a powerful way. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you would, please stand. Turn to page 105. There's something about that name.